I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 28th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, taken from the website of P.P. Simmons, Part 2 of 2, Atheism's Disturbing Doctrines and Tenets. He begins with defeatism. Simmons said, "Over the years, atheists have gone to great lengths to hide behind the cloak of non-religion. Simmons, I'm not hiding. My website is easily accessible to anyone who has the courage to challenge their own beliefs." He said, "Whenever someone like me comes on the scene, atheists come out by the hundreds to defend the non-religion of atheism." Simmons, you flatter yourself. They only come out because it is so easy to demolish your arguments that you make good practice for atheists who are preparing to take on more experienced Christian apologists. My case is a little different, though. I just enjoy beating up on retards. He said, "I refer to those people as apologists." Simmons, you also refer to atheism as a religion, so I don't think rational people take your definitions very seriously. Simmons continues, "There's no doubt they are highly intelligent and skilled debaters. However, resulting from their attempts has been some overwhelming evidence to support a doctrinal structure that appears to form a constitution." Simmons, it's not surprising that you are imagining things that aren't there. In fact, your entire belief system is based on imagining things that aren't there. He said, "I have been able to isolate five doctrines, as I call them, and this third element is extremely disturbing on a psychological level." Simmons, when rational people read an essay like this one, "extremely disturbing on a psychological level," describes their reaction perfectly. He said, "It is the doctrine of defeatism. Here's how dictionary.com defines it. The attitude, policy, or conduct of a person who admits, expects, or no longer resists defeat because of a conviction that further struggle or effort is futile. Pessimistic resignation." Simmons, if atheists were defeatists, wouldn't they all drop to their knees and accept Christ as their own personal ghost? The fact that they don't proves that you are still perfect. You haven't gotten one right yet. He said, "As someone who has personally experienced the love of God in both an emotional and tangible sense, it is heart-wrenching to read many of the defeatist comments posted on my various internet ministries." Simmons, tangible would imply that you are hearing the voices and seeing visions. If you go back to the last show where I quoted the definition of mental illness, you'll see that hallucinations were included. This points out the huge difference between ghost worshippers and rationalists. You assert that atheists are mentally ill, while I prove, with facts, that it is you who wears the tinfoil hat. He said, "Here are some examples of the doctrine of defeatism as expressed by actual atheists." His first example, "There is no loving personal deity that has a specific plan for individuals, and such claims are nothing more than a desire and tenacity to carry on living, and a reluctance to accept you're not special." Wow, Simmons, that had to hurt. But that seems like the opposite of the definition you gave for defeatism. It sounds more like they were quite confident in their atheism. How do you figure that comment admits defeat? Simmons asks, "Isn't that amazing?" Yes, Simmons, it is amazing that you could choose quotes from atheists that prove your premise that they are defeatists wrong, and not even be aware of it. In fact, amazing might even be an understatement. He said, "These cases are not isolated bursts of insanity like, you know, that crazy uncle that embarrasses you all the time." Simmons, so you admit to having a crazy uncle that embarrasses you all the time. I'll bet that if he ever read one of your essays, he would probably tell his friends the same thing about his crazy nephew. Sounds like your family may be swimming in the shallow end of the gene pool, Simmons. He said, this is a doctrine that is woven through the faith structure of atheism. Simmons, where's dictionary.com? You need to look up the word faith. It is defined as belief which is not based on evidence. Where in the definition do you find non-belief? You don't find it anywhere, Simmons. The last definition given specifically refers to Christianity. That is why you carefully avoid referring to the dictionary in cases that prove you wrong. That is why you try to mislead your audience into believing that atheism is also a faith. Unfortunately for you, the definitions don't quite come out the way you need them to. I guess you figure that God will forgive your dishonesty when you explain to him that you were lying for Jesus. For your sake, Simmons, let's hope you're right. And now he moves to elitism. He said, let's begin with how dictionary.com defines elitism, the belief that certain persons or members of certain classes or groups deserve favored treatment by virtue of their perceived superiority, as in intellect, social status, or financial resources. Now, I don't make this accusation without proof. I have received thousands of comments from the apologists of the religion of atheism who openly and proudly display the doctrine of elitism for all the world to see. Non-atheists who watch the show from the sidelines are amazed at the flaming arrogance and elitist thought structure that emerges immediately in the comment sections of my articles. Simmons, I will admit that it is rather easy to feel superior to the childish minds of frightened ghost worshippers. But I submit that that superiority may be more than just a feeling. Now, he said, here are just a few examples. His first example of an atheist commenter. If I found a moment where the degree of stupidity was limited, I would be obliged to respond. I may, however, create a video response for the amusement of myself and everyone else. Next commenter, how the hell do you have the nerve to question evolution when we have biological proof on top of over 300 years of physical data collated from just about every single branch of science? And another commenter asks, did you even attend school? Simmons, I like that one. I was wondering the same thing myself. The next commenter states, rational thought requires evidence. Your beliefs do not. Therefore, somewhere along the way, if you ever had it to begin with, you lost the power of rational thought and now clearly no longer even know what it is. Simmons, that dude or dudette does have a point. The next commenter said, I'm surprised you can even spell the word intelligence. Next commenter, no disrespect, but I wouldn't read any book written by a creationist as it would no doubt be full of lies. So Simmons, what was elitist about that comment? They merely stated the truth. The next commenter said, I couldn't possibly deny the irrefutable evidence for evolution like your sort shamefully do. Next comment, there's no such thing as creation scientists. These men aren't scientists. They're shady, misleading, religious entrepreneurs. Next comment, instead of pointlessly trying to discredit evolution, how about you give us some evidence to warrant your underdeveloped, primitive beliefs? Now that would be a novel idea. Next comment, writing moronic books and making retarded videos doesn't count as being busy. Next comment, yes, I have a son, which is more than you will ever have. Just because your colossal ego can't handle the fact that you are made of animal cells doesn't change a thing, although I've seriously encountered more intelligent plants. Simmons, plants? You know, as mean as that was, I wouldn't doubt that he has. Next commenter states, if you reject evolution by natural selection, then don't go to a modern Western hospital. Next commenter, you admit to having no scientific credentials, but you then defer to someone else, Hovind, who also has no scientific credentials. His degrees were from unaccredited degree mills. In any case, Hovind has no scientific education either. He got his degrees from a non-accredited degree mill and taught at a non-accredited private school. Simmons, it is obvious that you are oblivious to facts and logic. If that list of comments and insults didn't arouse an inkling in you that you might be wrong, then nothing will. There is simply no way to compete with the threat of eternal torture. And now Simmons asks, isn't that amazing? These comments represent 90% of the groupthink that prevails in the religion of atheism and is indicative of the mainstream belief structure cemented within the religion. And now he lists what the atheists think of themselves. They are smarter than everyone else. Simmons, both sides have very smart people. It's just that all the dumbasses are on your side. The next assertion of atheists, only the indoctrination, education, they received is worthy of any serious consideration. Simmons, that's because there isn't any other kind. Studying fairy tales could be considered education if they weren't being passed off as true. The next one, only their word definitions are legitimate. Simmons, after seeing how selective you are in using the dictionary and how deceitfully you manipulate the definitions, you prove their point. Continuing, and only their liberal lifestyle, no matter how destructive, is worth aspiring to. Simmons, you're obviously not a history buff either. Maybe that atheist who questioned your attendance in school had a point. There is no more destructive lifestyle to be found anywhere on earth than the religious lifestyle. I'm sure that you have no problem agreeing with that while discussing Islam. Then you turn a blind eye to the fact that for centuries, Christian life was every bit as bad, if not worse. In recent centuries, modern humans have dragged Christians, kicking and screaming, out of their barbaric medieval practices. Now we have to do the same for radical Muslims and Jews. Now Simmons says, it is the existential paradigm of atheism and the doctrine of elitism that provides the mental and social justification for taking God out of the paradigm and fortifying the delusion bubble that keeps reality from setting in. Simmons, God was never taken out of the reality paradigm because he was never in it. Now Simmons imitates atheists by saying, we are wonderful. We are animals. It's all about us. We are atheists. Simmons, it just kills you that you are an animal, doesn't it? You desperately seek to be superior to other life forms on the planet. Simmons, your view defines elitism, but you are too blind to see it, and even if you could, too arrogant to admit it. Now he moves to cannibalism. He begins, I consider the people who come to my website, blogs, and YouTube channel to argue in favor of the atheist religion to be apologists. The brightest bulbs in the room, if you will. And most of them really are quite intelligent. Simmons, that's why you're getting your ass kicked from one end of the internet to the other. You are a punching bag for those who need practice before taking on more experienced Christian apologists. Simmons continues, by inviting comments and interacting with them, they have done a great job of exposing the overwhelmingly agreed-upon faith structure of the atheist religion. We start the series with the most flamingly obvious doctrine, cannibalism. Now, this doctrine was revealed to me in the process of researching my fourth book, The Great Debate. I touched on it briefly in the book, but I wasn't sure if it was random, isolated cases of disgusting social dysfunction or across-the-board commonality among all atheists. Over the intervening months, I have discovered, or rather it was revealed to me by the atheists, that cannibalism has been accepted into mainstream atheism as a matter of fact. Allow me to read just a couple of the comments left by atheists concerning the act of eating people. The first comment, as for eating my friend, if he was dead, then yes, I would. He is an animal, just like I am, and just like you are. I would expect him to do the same if placed in that situation. Next comment. And in my own mind, I would like to think I would be able to eat a fellow man who was dead or had no chance to survive to keep myself alive. Simmons asks, isn't that amazing? I wouldn't dare reveal the identities of these people, but those were actual quotes from people on my blog and YouTube channel. Here's how Dictionary.com defines cannibalism. 1. The eating of human flesh by another human being. 2. The eating of the flesh of an animal by another animal of its own kind. 3. The ceremonial eating of human flesh or parts of the human body for magical or religious purposes, as to acquire the power or skill of a person recently killed. And then Simmons asks, I bet you can guess where this doctrine comes from. Simmons, I don't have to guess. I know where it came from. Your Bible. Deuteronomy 28, verses 53 through 57. Leviticus 26, verse 29. 2 Kings 6, verses 26 through 29. Jeremiah 19, verse 9. Ezekiel 5, verse 10. Lamentations 4, verse 10. John chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. Simmons, it seems your God is quite fond of cannibalism. What subject are you going to bring up next, Simmons? Slavery? Let me get this straight, Simmons. You don't just believe in this God. You actually worship this monster? Well, I guess you've already answered that one, haven't you? He said, it comes from the teaching that people are nothing more than animals. Simmons, it comes from your Bible, which teaches that people are nothing more than firewood. Simmons continues, what would I do if I was faced with the choice of starvation or cannibalism? That choice will never be a part of my life. In my existential paradigm, there is always the God option. I would pray. I would expect one of three or more or a combination of things to happen. Either God would rescue me out of the predicament or he would provide me with food to eat or probably a combination of both. A third option would be a supernatural sustaining of the body until help arrives. Simmons, while the atheist at least had the honesty to answer the question, you did what all ghost worshippers do when confronted with situations they cannot handle. Call Mary Poppins. You played your get-out-of-jail-free card and avoided answering the question. So typical. You have just verified what everyone already knew about you. There isn't an honest bone to be found anywhere in your body. Now he states, let me make one thing perfectly clear. Death for the Christian is a sweet release. Simmons, you people worship death. We worship life. You have more in common with vampires than you do with modern humans. And if death is such a sweet release, how come none of you guys are in a hurry to see Jesus? At least Muslim fanatics back up their claims by blowing themselves up. You people do everything you can to avoid death and prolong your miserable lives. But after reading your Bible, it's easy to see why you're not in such a hurry to actually see your God. He said, it is entry into the heavenly. Simmons, not if God is wearing a turban. In that case, you had better prepare yourself for the big barbecue. Tell you what, Simmons, I'll save you a spot. He said, the Bible says that to die is gain. Simmons, that's the same line imams and mullahs use on young, ignorant Muslims. He said, for the Christian to resort to desecrating a corpse is to throw one's faith into reverse. Simmons, that would be called progress. And he concludes his essay. For the atheist, however, it is a testimony to the barbaric nature of the religion and the need to expose it before it destroys society beyond repair. Simmons, whether or not society has been damaged beyond repair, only time will tell. But if there is hope, Simmons, it won't come from those who have ravaged the planet for the past 2,000 years, but from those who have developed rational minds. And now we move to the science segment. Neuron memory may be the key to taming chronic pain. For some, the pain is so great that they can't even bear to have clothes touch their skin. For others, it means that every step is a deliberate and agonizing choice. Whether the pain is caused by arthritic joints, an injury to a nerve, or a disease like fibromyalgia, research now suggests there are new solutions for those who suffer from chronic pain. Researchers have found the key to understanding how memories of pain are stored in the brain. More importantly, they are also able to suggest how these memories can be erased, making it possible to ease chronic pain. It has long been known that the central nervous system remembers painful experiences, that they leave a memory trace of pain. And when there is a new sensory input, the pain memory trace in the brain magnifies the feeling so that even a gentle touch can be excruciating. Perhaps the best example of a pain memory trace is found with phantom limb pain. Patients may have a limb amputated because of gangrene, and because the limb was painful before it was amputated, even though the limb is gone, the patients continue to feel they are suffering from pain in the absent limb. That's because the brain remembers the pain. In fact, there's evidence that any pain that lasts more than a few minutes will leave a trace in the nervous system. It's this memory of pain which exists at the neuronal level. That is critical to the development of chronic pain. But until now, it was not known how these pain memories were stored at the level of the neurons. Recent work has shown that the protein kinase PKM zeta plays a crucial role in building and maintaining memory by strengthening the connections between neurons. Zeta is also the key to understanding how the memory of pain is stored in the neurons. They were able to show that after painful stimulation, the level of zeta increases persistently in the central nervous system. Even more importantly, researchers found that by blocking the activity of zeta at the neuronal level, they could reverse the hypersensitivity to pain that neurons developed after irritating the skin by applying capsaicin, the active ingredient in hot peppers. Moreover, erasing this pain memory trace was found to reduce both persistent pain and heightened sensitivity to touch. Many pain medications target pain at the peripheral level. By reducing inflammation or by activating analgesia systems in the brain to reduce the feeling of pain. This is the first time that researchers can foresee medications that will target an established pain memory trace as a way of reducing pain hypersensitivity. They believe it's an avenue that may offer new hope to those suffering from chronic pain. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Once again, George Carlin. I would never want to be a member of a group whose symbol was a guy nailed to two pieces of wood.
Are you ready, Goose?